Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Catherine Gregg, the longtime girlfriend of captured fugitive James Whitey Bulger, remains in jail this morning after a federal magistrate decided yesterday, not to decide for now, whether she should be released on bail. As WBUR's David Boeri reports, the families of some of Bulger's alleged murder victims were allowed to testify against Gregg's release.
Her attorney, Kevin Reddington, sought to portray the gray, thin, and forlorn defendant as one more victim of James Whitey Bulger. But those whose fathers and sisters he had allegedly murdered weren't buying it. They clearly would have preferred to speak to Bulger, yet once again it seemed Gregg was taking on Whitey's burden. Chris McIntyre was here to speak for his brother John.
Her lawyer's up there saying that Miss Gregg had no idea about any of the murders. And then when Kevin Weeks got up there, all I could think about was this was the guy that witnessed my brother's brains getting splattered all over the wall, and she knew nothing about it. I don't think so.
The entry of emotional and angry victim impact statements into the proceeding of a bail hearing is highly unusual. It came on the second day as federal prosecutors extended the trail of evidence that Gregg had harbored her fugitive lover, that she'd helped him and hid him. Under questioning, an FBI agent testified that at their Santa Monica apartment, Gregg had paid the monthly rent, the cable TV bills, and even the subscription to the LA Times. At the salon where she got her hair styled, colored, and cut, the hairdresser revealed that Gregg had said she liked bad boys. Referring to Bulger as her husband, Gregg had said he was a bad boy when they met, but he was over that now. Prosecutor James Herbert asserted she knew who and what Bulger was. So too did Tom Donahue, whose father was murdered with a machine gun 100 yards from this courthouse a few months before his son was born.
Her defense quoted many times, she's a very intelligent woman. She's a very nice woman. I don't doubt that one bit. But this woman's been rolling around the planet with the most wanted man around. A man who's wanted for 19 murders.
Looking like Spencer Tracy as he cross-examined the FBI agent, Kevin Reddington drew a portrait of a loving and caring woman, greatly respected and loved by neighbors who knew her as Helen and Carol, along the Whitey Trail in Santa Monica and Grand Isle, Louisiana. One neighbor in Grand Isle recalled how Bulger controlled her, ordering her around like a servant. He would clap his hands for service, and Helen would respond quickly. Reddington called Bulger Lieutenant Kevin Weeks to the stand. He appeared unhappy to be back in court, but seeing the woman he delivered to Bulger when she took off in 1995, Weeks betrayed a slight smile and a twinkle in his eye. Question, was Catherine, to your knowledge, involved in the business? Answer, no. Did you ever know her to be violent? Answer, no. No. Weeks said whenever he and Bulger talked business, they left Catherine on a bench. Her only crime, Reddington told the judge, was a crime of passion, of falling in love.
I'm disgusted with it all, you know. Sickens me.
Said Steve Davis, whose sister was allegedly strangled and garroted by Bulger. Though the purpose of a bail hearing is to determine whether the defendant poses a danger to the community or a risk of flight, what Davis and others might add to these questions is at best unclear. Yet the government was arguing the victim should be heard before the magistrate decides whether Gregg should be released on bail. Defense attorneys have called that highly irregular. Announced the magistrate, Jennifer Ball, victims have the right to be heard at detention hearings. Problem was, she wasn't clear whether these people met the definition of being victims. Not when it came to Catherine Gregg, although they did meet the definition of being victims of Whitey Bulger. Here's Paul Griffin, the Davis family's attorney, commenting on the magistrate's position.
She wanted to revisit the issue of whether or not these individuals qualify under the definition of victim as she understands it.
But instead of deciding the issue first, the magistrate allowed the victims to speak anyway, pushing down the line her final decision whether to accept their statements at all. Then four men came forward to speak of youth hollowed out by pain and loss. One of them was Tom Donahue.
I wanted the judge to really know how sincere and how serious we were.
Her 16 years on the run were the 16 years we cried, he said, alternately sobbing and exhaling for control. As Catherine Gregg froze in her chair, never turning to look, Donahue talked about her running errands for Whitey and spending the blood money Bulger took from his victims. Then he read haltingly from a poem he remembered as a child, a poem by William Blake. "Father, father, where are you going? Speak, father, speak to your little boy, or else I shall be lost." The night was dark, no father was there, and the child did weep. Perhaps sensing where this was headed, at the last moment, Kevin Reddington said his client, Catherine Gregg, would voluntarily agree to remain in detention for now, allowing the magistrate to put off another decision on whether to release Gregg on bail. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.